My first question, Tiffany Schaefer, is one of I need a consumer warning. When I come to see Twihard the musical, will I leave covered in sparkly glitter?
Your body won't be covered in glitter, but your heart will.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. I'm Austin Titchener, co-artistic director of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, now in its 19th year, number 974, Twihard the Musical. Tiffany Keene Schaefer is the writer and director of Twihard, a Twilight musical parody, which is now having a limited commercial run at Chicago's Apollo Theater after having its world premiere at the Otherworld Theater Company, quite possibly the finest theater dedicated to sci-fi and fantasy programming in the world. Tiffany also runs Otherworld Theater, and she began our conversation by talking about how she and composer partner Brian Rasmussen created Twihard, a Twilight musical parody.
Swarming the gate, where gathered hearts are racing fast, awaiting the saga destined to last.
The show is very much a love letter to the 2008 millennial time in our lives, which I know that I'm not sure, you might not be a millennial.
Again, very politic, very gracious.
But for the millennials out there, like 2008 was just such a crazy time to have your, you know, teenage / college years. You know, Obama just got elected in office. We had Green Day. There was this huge like emo punk scene that was like coming into fruition. There was like this amazing glow of hope at that time.
I remember which, it fondly.
Which, oh man, I wish we could go back to. And I do think that that's like kind of some of the charm of Twihard is going back to that time in our lives. And yes, there was, you know, Harry Potter was enjoyable and it didn't have all the stigmatism based off of She Who Must Not Be Named. And then we had Twilight, which was about a sparkly vampire that had a teenage girlfriend, and watching their supernatural love story unfold in this huge commercial. Every year you would go to the midnight release of Twilight, you know, new moon, eclipse, breaking dawn, and dress up and just follow this crazy story about teenage love in this crazy heightened way. And it was just so profound in my development as a person that when it came to writing it all down and developing this parody, like it just became like this love letter to that time.
That's so incredible, and I have specific memories about that time with regards to Twilight. I read the first book certainly, and really enjoyed it. And I remember that our son was reading, who was 12 in 2008, was reading the book, and at one point late at night, like after he should have been asleep, we hear these weird, heavy breathing and kind of moaning and stuff coming out of his bedroom. And Dee and I are going, oh God, has that started already? Has he started doing that? And we cautiously look into his room and he's reading the final pages of Twilight and sobbing.
Yeah, and Twilight ends on a cliffhanger.
Yes, that's right. That's right. The other thing I remember was that being from the films, I remember being hashtag Team Jacob. So that's what.
Oh, and why are you Team Jacob, or why were you?
I thought the werewolves were more interesting than the vampires, but I understand. I mean, what I love about the stories is what vampire and werewolf stories generally is the metaphorical aspect, what they represent, and I get. I mean, I so get that the vampire represents forbidden love, and so the popularity of the books and the movies has never escaped me. I totally understand that, and I'm kind of thrilled to see that it's you're sort of bringing it to a new generation, affectionately and ironically, but sincerely. Am I right?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, some people who are, you know, diehard Twihard fans, when they see it's a Twilight musical parody, sometimes they're like, you know, is this in bad faith, right? Like, am I going to go there? And are you just making fun of the material? And absolutely not. I love it. I'm not ashamed of loving it. I've never been ashamed of loving it. I do remember back in 2008, if you said that you liked Twilight, they're like, there were people who would might quote unquote judge you and be like, oh, why? It's so stupid, blah, 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 blah. And I was in college at that time. So it was even more of like, you know, like how can you like a story like that? And don't you feel like as a woman, you are being, you know, not respected by this material where Bella is always saved by these supernatural people. She has no agency. And first of all, to anyone who says that Bella has no agency, she starts as the lamb, but by the end of the books, she becomes the lion. She becomes a vampire. And not only does she become a vampire, she becomes one of the most powerful vampires in all of, you know, the world of the vampire universe. She's a shield, and she even can, you know, block Aro, who is considered one of the most powerful vampires to exist. So, you know, the narrative people want to protect her, but like she can, like Jacob and Edward become an extension of her and powerful allies to her throughout the book. And they're like eating out of the palm of her hand all the time. They'll do whatever she says. And I also feel like, you know, there's this deep desire to be listened to, you know, not only as a woman, but also like Bella in the books, like, and Edward will listen to anything that she has to say. And it really isn't until Breaking Dawn when they start disagreeing, especially when it comes to Renesmee, but Bella still wins. Like, she wins that argument. Like, you know, she goes against Edward, and she advocates for what she wants. And then of course, you know, it was usually these college bros, and then I would go to their bookcases and I'm like, oh yes, I know that you really care about women. Oh, but I see you have Sin City here.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you know, I mean, look, that's a fantasy too, and that's totally valid, but like, you know, women have our fantasies and they're equally as valid. And I don't think that you want Sin City to actually exist, right? The Frank Miller universe, like, but you can enjoy going into that universe, right? Yeah. And it's like, well, would you want a man stalking you and you know, being outside your window? And I'm like, no. But I do think that as a woman, there is this idea of protection and how we are not protected in this world. And, you know, a supernatural entity being outside my window, wanting to protect me, but also being obsessed with me and not wanting any harm to come to me, you know, that's a fantasy. And I can enjoy that fantasy in a book.
The other answer, of course, to the question of, are you making fun of this material is, yeah, you're goddamn right I'm making fun of this material because I love this material. And this is how I show my affection. That's me and Shakespeare. That's me and the Bible. That's me in American history. That's me and my wife. I understand the parody impulse. God knows I understand the parody impulse. What made you decide to make it a musical?
I think it was almost more natural to make it a musical. The feelings are so heightened and the melodrama is so deep within Twilight that I feel like the musical aspect of it is so natural. You know, we've been telling this story really for thousands of years of, you know, faded romance. And you know, especially since it's rooted in tension, the will they, won't they, will he kill her, will he drink her blood, or will he kiss her? That tension put to music, which I think Brian Rasmussen, who's my musical partner in this, you know, demonstrated so beautifully. The musical part was actually quite easy because it's about the tension. And then also we were like, well, it's 2008. We got to bring in references like My Chemical Romance, Fall Out Boy, Green Day. And that's why I think, it, you know, the rock musical aspect, you know, really came to fruition there, too.
Hi, this is Scott Bakula, and you're listening to the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. Okay, can you please take the gun away from my head now?
Where can you RSC the RSC? This fall of 2025, we'll be touring all the great books abridged at various venues we'll announce soon, and the Ultimate Christmas Show abridged in Washington State at the Edmonds Center for the Arts on December 3rd, and the Capitol Theater in Yakima on December 12th. Sign up for our newsletter or check out the touring page at our website, ReducedShakespeare.com, or our social media pages for venue and ticket information. Now back to my conversation with Tiffany Keene Schaefer, the writer and director of Twihard, a Twilight musical parody, now running at Chicago's Apollo Theater through August 31st, 2025.
I run Otherworld Theater Company. It's a science fiction and fantasy theater company here in Chicago, and we're dedicated to genre performance. And how Twihard even started was I was thinking of, well, what are we going to do for February programming? You know, we have, it's Valentine's Day, what would be good? And I had actually started writing Twihard, the musical, back in college. I wrote the song called Sacrifice, which is Bella's I Want song. And it was very sincere. It's not really a parody song. If you listen to the soundtrack, which you can on Spotify, and I wrote it, and it was all about my longing. You know, I was in college, and it was all about my longing of not feeling like I was belonging and how I felt as a woman that, like, everything that I wanted in the world, like, I had to sacrifice to kind of get what I wanted. And then I was like, oh, my God, I'm not funny. I got to put this away. This isn't going to work. And so I put Twihard, the musical, away. And then, you know, it was September in 2021, I think. I was in the lobby at Otherworld Theater, and Brian was one of our improv pianists for improv musical. And he was lamenting about how he always wanted to write a musical, but no one would give him a chance. And I said, well, I do have this musical that I would like to put up in February. It needs music. Would you want to, you know, do you know Twilight? Would you want to write a musical parody? And Brian said, I'll do it. And then it was a wild ride of getting it open, but it was only supposed to be open for like maybe 6 weeks. It was not supposed to be this huge run, but we kept selling out and we kept extending. And then we had to close for a bit because all the actors were booked, of course, because it's a gig economy. And then we remounted it again, that October. And then we started selling out again. And then we're like, okay, we're going to do it in the spring. And then we were selling it out again. And then it was like, well, we have two options. We either kind of let this thing kind of, you know, run its course and silently go into the ether, or we really try to keep it going and go commercial. Because, of course, also all the nonprofits now are being totally gutted. So it was like, nonprofit is not going to work. We're going to have to go commercial. And then, you know, the Apollo has been dark for a bit and, you know, hasn't been open. And so we were able to connect with them, and they went and saw the show, and they were like, great, you know, I think that you've got something, you got some spark here, and, you know, do you want to have a go for it, you know, to do this big commercial production at the Apollo? And we were like, it's now or never, baby. Let's go. And so we've been pumping with gas ever since. And that has been a huge thing, too, of just like the difference between nonprofit world and commercial enterprise. And but it's been, you know, we're open now and, you know, the houses are full. And for summertime, we're just so proud, you know, the Twihard's coming out.
That's amazing, too, especially here in August when people go away. That's amazing that you're getting crowds. What did you learn as the writer of the piece? What did you learn when you first put it on its feet in front of people?
As a writer, I think that you're always asking yourself the question, is this funny to me or is this going to be funny to others?
Yeah.
You know, especially when you're doing something from fandom and it's something that you love deeply and you're like, is this love going to translate? Like, is this love going to translate if they've never seen Twilight? Is this love going to translate if they've never seen the movies? And, you know, I think that the story is so strong and so resonant. That it does, you know, people have come not knowing the source material and had an amazing time. But, you know, I think you're always checking yourself and you're always full of doubt. And then when it's in front of people and you hear the first laugh, you just, there's a sigh of relief that just comes from your soul that you're like, okay, what the joke resonates. and then there's things that the actors find. And then, you know, there are so many moments that I didn't think were funny that the actors found humanity and humor in it. And then they brought that to life, you know? So I think when you're making a comedy, you can't always, you know, as much as you want to as a writer, you can't always take the credit. It's a lot to do with also the performers and how the performers take your material and run with it.
Did you have to cut songs? Did you find a song that didn't work and you needed to create new ones?
You know, no.
Wow.
I mean, this Twihard was written in like 3 months. We had not workshopped anything. The first time we had heard the songs was during callbacks. And I remember me and Brian actually being quite emotional hearing Sacrifice for the first time. I mean, we were like in tears and there were all these, you know, it was a choir of Bellas because all of these Bellas were in this room singing the material for the first time. And they were singing Sacrifice to us. And we were just like, oh my God, like this is so beautiful. And, you know, I think that also we weren't sure what we were making when we were making it, you know, because again, we thought this was going to be a 6 week thing and then it would be like, oh, that was fun. On to the next.
Right.
But when I think we heard Sacrifice sung aloud for the first time in this choir of sopranos, we were like, this is really beautiful and moving. We added songs. I think there was a time when I was like, oh my God, Brian, we need a villain song. And Brian wrote Hunter in about like, you know, 5 minutes. I said it should be vaudevillian. It should be golden age, you know, and it should be very swarmy. And Brian was like, got it, you know, went away, wrote the music in like 5 seconds. And then I wrote the bridge. And then, you know, so that song came very easily and naturally. Skin of a Killer took us a very long time. There were a lot of that song musically has so much going on in it. It's a fight between Bella and Edward. You know, it's the lamenting of the monster song. So, you know, I'm lamenting what I've become, which is this vampire, this monster. But then there's also this like, you know, underlying current of Bella being very attracted to him and him fighting her off for that attraction. So that took a long time to musically display all of those themes in one song.
That's funny because Bella's attraction repulsion to Edward is our attraction repulsion to the material, to the book. Yeah, to the movies. I love it. It's very, very meta, and I can see why it's catching on. I mean, I can see how attractive it is. And I haven't even seen it yet. I've only heard great things, and I haven't heard the music, but I'm going to start listening to it right now.
Oh, my goodness. That'll be so great.
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, except for one more thing, which I'll share with you in about 60 seconds, so stick around. Twihard, a Twilight musical parody written and directed by my guest Tiffany Keene Schaefer, runs at Chicago's Apollo Theater through August 31st, 2025. Go to twihardthemusical.com for more information. Then send us your forbidden love via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com or throw a comment to us over on the socials or on our own actual website, reducedshakespeare.com, or visit my website, theshakespeareans.com. Thanks as always to bare-chested werewolf Matthew Croak, web services by Ginger Power Limited, music by John Weber and Garage Band, and also this week, the title track of Twihard, written by Tiffany Keene Schaefer and Brian Rasmussen. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to Linda Baker. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to Scott Bakula, no stranger to science fiction or musicals. And as always, thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 974 2920 seconds of the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
You know, just to end us off on the button, the attraction repulsion. I think that the repulsion does not really come from the material. It, Stephanie Meyer, notoriously a Mormon, for her to write this book, and it is a thirsty book, right?
Yeah.
The repulsion comes from, I think, the repressed sexual desire of, you know, what we're feeling, like vampires and sexuality have a huge, you know, great tormented past of like, you know, I want to eat you. I want to consume you. I want to, you know, bite on your neck. It just is like so.
Bram Stoker's original novel is a very horny book.
Yes, absolutely. And the repulsion is coming from we wanting those things, we having those desires, and then having this overlying, you know, layer in our everyday lives of repressing those desires. Like
100%.
The beast, you know, so like, you know, I think that Twihard and Twilight get a lot of like heat for, you know, exploring those themes because it's almost like a taboo of like, oh my God, this teenager lusting after a vampire boy. But well, you know, teenagers lust after boys, like teenage girls lust after boys. And girls, and you know, lust is humanity, and we have to explore that. And Twilight and Twihard lets us do that.
This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to reducedshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.